Job chapter 24 this evening. We will begin Job 24 and verse 12. And Job said this, "Men groan from out of the city, and the soul of the wounded crieth out. Yet God layeth not folly to them." You are more inclined to believe someone if they know what they are talking about. Job knew the deep lacerations of the heart that were invisible, internal, and no physician can help these. This city is full of people just like that. They hurt. Maybe this building has some people like that, where they hurt deeply. Job could write about wounds. He could describe intense inner suffering in the first person because of his own pain. He knew what he was talking about when he wrote verse 12. Let's go to Job chapter 1 now. Here's what brought the pain. First of all, the first five verses. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she donkeys, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. He was the richest man in the world. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sin, and call for the 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. Kids all getting along, loving each other. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Job was a very good man. Now let's skip down to verse 13. "And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee.' While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, 'The fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee.' While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, 'The Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am alone, escaped alone to tell thee.' While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, 'Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house.'" And I guarantee at that point, Job's heart broke. "And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are all dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And right about now, I'm shaking my head, and I'm thinking, how in the world could he handle it? And then think of the aftermath of what has just happened. The bankruptcy, the pain, the fresh graves, the loneliness of those empty rooms. Yet we read that he worshiped God. He did not sin, nor did he blame God. Why not? At the risk of oversimplifying the situation, I want to suggest three basic life algorithms that was a part of Job's life. And this is what sustained him. First of all, and we have to get to this place in our life, Job trusted in God's loving sovereignty. He looked up. He sincerely believed that the Lord who gave had every right to take away. Look at chapter 2 and verse 10. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. One of the most basic Bible doctrines is the fact that the Bible presents man with a fourfold revelation of God. First of all, in nature, that's a God around us. In providence, a God beyond us. In law, a God against sin. And in grace, a God for him and in him. I want you to hold your place in Job and go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. And ladies and gentlemen, we have the full revelation of God right here. Job didn't have all this, but here's what God expects out of us. Ephesians chapter 5. And look at verse 20. The Bible says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God expects out of us. I don't care what happens to us. He expects us to give thanks always for all things. Back up a couple of pages and go with me to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Let's begin reading in verse 18. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory? Trust God's loving sovereignty in your life. Second of all, he counted on the promise of the resurrection. He looked ahead. Yesterday, Cleto called me and we talked for a little while, and basically the conversation was just about how deeply we hurt at times. And he was thinking about his son, and he said, "Brother Gray, I know that you lost a son too." And we both cried. But this is what we're talking about right now. When we are going through times like that, we can trust in the loving sovereignty of God, and we can look forward to the resurrection. He looked ahead. Do you remember his immortal words in Job chapter 19? Go with me there, please. Job chapter 19, we'll begin reading in verse 25. This is Job looking ahead. Again, folks, don't forget, he's just buried his 10 kids. But he makes this statement, and it's true. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." He understood he wasn't only going to see God, he was going to see his kids again. He endured by envisioning tomorrow. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Hope doesn't disappoint." The fact that we are going to have a new body and a new home and a new reunion in heaven. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There are very few memorial services I have without reading this portion of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those who have died in the Lord, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Sorrow is fine, but we're not to sorrow as those that have no hope. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which have already died. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." I know that my Redeemer liveth, Job said. Third, he confessed his own lack of understanding about why things like this happen. He gets to the point, so go with me to Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42. You get to the point where you just confess your own lack of understanding. And this is what Job said. Verse 2. I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. He looked within, confessing his inability to put it all together. Adversity and the land of Uz may seem a universe away for us, and that's the way Job felt just a few minutes before the avalanche took place in his life. Please remember this. The supreme passion of the potter is to form a perfected vessel. And he is never happy until that happens in our life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your wonderful grace. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for holding us at times and just comforting us. We're going to go through some difficult times in this life. Jesus has already told us that in this life you're going to have tribulation. And dear Father, we know that and we expect that. But please help us to apply these three things to our life. It will help us. It will keep us in balance. It will keep us on track if we will do that. In Jesus' name.